Gopiyana Vallabha Girivara Dhare Gopiyana Vallabha Girivara Dhare Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopiyana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopiyana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopiyana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopiyana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopiyana Vallabha Girivara Dhari All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 37. And Text 37 doesn't have any purport. So we will go forward to 38 and 39. Okay, I'm going to read the 37. Tasmim. Yeah, actually, the Prabhu did that one. Yeah. Well, he sent me a text that was 37, and 38, and 39. Yeah, that's what he said. I have the Brahmana right here. Okay, I'm going to read it at 37. Tasmim sudandvan nahani bhagavan yat samadisat upayat ashrama padam mune santam vratasyatat. O Vidura, they reached the hermitage of the sage who had just completed his vows of austerity on the very day foretold by the Lord. Text 38 and 39. So the way we're going to do it is I will sing the two verses and then each devotee sings one and the other devotee sings the second one and like that. Otherwise, it will be very long process. Yasmin bhagavato netram nyapatam ashruvindavam kripaya sampadristasya prapamne ripata brisham tadvai bindu saro nama sarasvatya pariplutam punyam sivam britap jalam maharshi gana sevitam yasmin bhagavato netram nyapatam ashruvindavam kripaya sampada samparitasya prapamne arpitaya brisham tadvai bindu saro nama sarasvatya pariplutam punyam sivam rita jalam maharishi ganasevitam yasmin bhagavato netram nyapatam ashruvindavah kripaya sampatritasya prapamne arpitaya brisam tadvai bindu saro nama sarasvatya pariplutam punyam shri vam ritabhyalam maharishi gana sevitam. Please. I mean, just one can read one line and we'll repeat. That's what we do normally. I just read the whole thing once because two verses together, so. Yasmin Bhagavato Netram Yapatam Ashruvindava Gambindu Saronama Saraswatya Pariprutam Jalam Maharshi Gana Sevitam Yasmin Bhagavato Netam Nyapatam Ashuvindavaha Yapita Brisam Tadvai Bindu Saro Nama Tadvai Bindu Saro Nama Sarasvatya Pariplutam Punyam Shivam Vritagyalam Gana Sevitam Yasmin Bhagavato Netram Yapatam Ashuvindava Kripaya Samparitasya Prapanya Arpitaya Brisam Tadvai Bindu Saronama Sarasvatya Pariplutam Pumnyam Shivam Ritagyalam Maharishi Ganasevitam Yasmin Bhagavato Netram Nyapatam Ashuvindavaha Kripaya Samparitasya Prapamne Arpitaya Brisam Tadvai Bindu Saronama Sarasvatya Pariplutam Pumnyam Sivam Pritam Jalam Maharishi Ganasevitam Yasmin In which Bhagavataha of the Lord Netrat from the eye Nyapatan fell down Ashruvindavaha teardrops Kripaya by compassion Samparitasya who was overwhelmed Prapanne On the surrender soul, Kardama, Arpitaya, placed upon Brisam, extremely, that, vai, indeed, Bindu Saraha, Lake of Tears, Nama, called Sarasvatya, by the river Saraswati, Pariplutam overflowed Punyam Holy Shiva auspicious Amrita Nectar Jalam Water Maharishi of great sages Gana by hosts Sevitam served Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kichai. The holy lake Bindu Sarovar, flooded by the waters of the river Saraswati, was resorted to by hosts of eminent sages. Its holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarovar because drops of tears had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection. Purport. Kardama underwent austerities to gain the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord arrived there, he was so compassionate that in pleasure she shed tears, which became Bindu Sarovar. Bindu Sarovar, therefore, is worshipped by great sages and learned scholars, because according to the philosophy of the absolute truth, the Lord and the tears from his eyes are not different. Just as drops of perspiration which fell from the toe of the Lord became the sacred Ganges, so tear drops from the transcendental eyes of the Lord became Bindu Sarovar. Both are transcendental entities and are worshipped by great sages and scholars. The water of Bindu Sarovar is described here as Shivamrita Jala. Shiva means curing. Anyone who drinks the water of Bindu Sarovar is cured of all material diseases. Similarly, anyone who takes his bath in the Ganges also is relieved of all material diseases. These claims are accepted by great scholars and authorities and are still being acted upon even in this fallen age of Kali. Om Ajnana Timiram Dasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sapadatikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kamta Namostute Tapta Kamchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vamchakalpa Taruvyasya Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Yam Pravra Yam Tamanu Pedang Apeta Krityam Dvaipayano Virahakatara Yuhava Putreti Tan Mayataya Taravo Vinedu Tam Sarva Bhuta Hridanam Munimana Tosmi. The holy lake Bindu Sarovar, flooded by the waters of the river Saraswati, was resorted to by hosts of eminent sages. Its holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarovar because drops of tear had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection. So Bindu Sarovar lake is considered one of the Pancha Sarovar, one of the five most ancient lakes in this universe. And as Prabhupada explains here, it was created by the tears falling from the Lord when he gave darshan to Kardama Muni out of his extreme compassion. So this is a very sacred place. It is also the place where later on we will see that the incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila, he explained the Moksha Jnana or knowledge of Sankhya Yoga to his mother Devahuti in the same place. And also it's the same place where Parashuram performed the Shraddha Matru, you know, the ceremony of Shraddha to his mother, Renuka. And therefore it became a very famous place for doing that. Just like, you know, in India, there is a custom, the system that when the father dies, you know, somebody goes to Gaya, and then he offers Pinda ceremony, you know, for the sake of his father. And then the same thing happens in Bindu Sarovar Lake. People go and offer Pinda ceremony, but for the sake of mother. So this is a very important place of pilgrimage. And you see that during the Kartik month, a lot of people come to this place because that's when Kapila spoke the philosophy of Sankhya. It was during the Kartik month. So you'll see that if somebody goes to that place, I have never been there, but I heard from many devotees that there are, like, you know, huge fairs and a lot of people come. And, you know, they perform so many austerities and, you know, pious activities just to benefit, you know, their mothers. So, yeah, and then this is, Prabhupada explains in the purport that this is the philosophy of the absolute truth, that the tears or anything that comes from the Lord is not different from Him. This is something that is very difficult to understand for Mayavadis or impersonalists. They cannot understand that anything that comes from the Lord or any paraphernalia that are used for the Lord's service is equal to Him, spiritually equal to Him. So I was talking the other day to one Mayavadi lady, because His Holiness Bhakti Marga Swami gave me the instruction of preaching in Cuba. So we did several programs, and there was a lot of people very interested in knowing more about our philosophy. So he instructed me to make a WhatsApp group or something like that and preach to the people. And to my surprise, you know, we have a lot of people in those groups. And then, you know, some of them, they are very inquisitive, extremely inquisitive. And many are influenced by the Mayavadi philosophy because they're Sikhs or they practice Kundalini yoga or, you know, any of those things, all of those things. Well, this lady, she was very big time Mayavadi, but she was very respectful. You know, she was not challenging. She wanted to know. And she could not understand why the absolute truth is a person, or why do we worship deities. And I was explaining her that, you know, because she calls the absolute truth the divine consciousness, or, you know, some energy, you know, flowing here and there. And I was trying to explain that, you know, that this is a Mayavadi philosophy, that it says that Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya, because that's what they think, that, you know, the Brahman is the absolute truth or the reality, and everything else is just like an illusion. And so I was explaining her that if we address God, if we say that, if we agree that there is a presence of God, means that God is a person. It shouldn't be like some energy. Just like if I say, you know, your name, you know, her name was like Nay Dalis or something like that. Say, if I say Nay Dalis, I'm addressing you as a person. I'm not just calling some energy. So I was explaining her in different ways, but still she could not understand, you know. And finally she accepted it, because she started reading Prabhupada's books, The Perfection of Yoga. And then she read that Prabhupada at a certain point in the book mentioned that anything that is used in service of the Lord, or anything which comes out from the Lord, is not different from Him. It's a transcendental. And then she started chanting the holy name, because, you know, I don't know, she got some mercy. And then 4 or 5 days later, she told me, you know what? You know, I don't understand, still don't understand what you're saying. But when I chant this mantra, because Prabhupada said it's a transcendent, everything falls into the right place. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. You continue chanting that, and you continue reading the books, and everything will fall, you know, into the right place. So this is what happened with Mayavadis, especially impersonalists and atheists, that they cannot understand that, first of all, the Lord is a person, and they believe that the absolute truth is a Brahman, impersonal Brahman. And when Krishna comes down, He accepts a material body, generally made out of sattva-guna, you know, like a very kind person, and very like with mystic powers and all these different features of sattva-guna. So they cannot understand that He is transcendental to material nature. Indeed, that He is the basis of Brahman, impersonal Brahman. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, He says in Bhagavad Gita. So, what to speak of understanding that when, you know, if we try to explain that some, you know, poem in India, like, you know, Radha Kunda or Shyama Kunda or Bindu Sarovar, are not different from Him. You know, this is something like completely inconceivable for, even for us, it's difficult to understand. But at least the devotees, as devotees, we should accept these things, even if we cannot like properly understand it. So, same thing happened with the Ganges. We all know the story how it descends from the spiritual world, you know, from the Garbodaka ocean, from the water, the perspiration of the Lord, when Lord Vamanadeva pierced the coverings of the universe, then the the sacred Ganges came and he flows over the three universes. You know, and this is glorified by many, many acharya. Shankaracharya, I think, he wrote the Ganga Sutra. And there is a beautiful verse that I used to, I don't know why, but I used to hear this verse when I was a kid. I don't know why. It says that, later on I learned the Sanskrit, but I learned the translation before. But it says, Devi Sureshwari Bhagavati Ganges Tribhuvana Tarini Tarala Tarange Shankara Mauli Viharini Vimale. What's the last line? I forgot. Anyway, it says that, oh Gangadevi, your restless ways are qualified to purify the three creations, and therefore you frolic in the head of Lord Shiva. Therefore I ask you, Gangadevi, please, let me take shelter at your lotus feet. And our Srila Prabhupada many times explained how still in India there is a system that many people go to the Ganges to take a bath in there just for the sake of becoming purified. And not also in Hindu tradition or Hindu religion, but also we see that in other places people go to, according to their religions and tradition, they generally go to rivers and try to be purified from sinful activities. So the Ganges, as it says in this prayer of Shankaracharya, Tribhuvana Tarini Tarala Tarange, it comes from the spiritual world and purify the three creations. So the devotee, or in this case Shankaracharya, he asks Gangadevi, let me take shelter or your lotus feet so that my mind can be purified. Because they understand that Ganges is not different from the Lord. There is another thing that is not different from the Lord, and this is the Vaishnava. And this is one of the most amazing things in our philosophy, because in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said by the sages of Naimisaranya that Sutta, they addressed Sutta Goswami, and they told him that if a person takes shelter of a lotus feet of another Vaishnava who had completely taken shelter of the feet of the Lord, he can be purified at once. Whereas if one takes shelter of the Ganges, you know, he can be purified after prolonged use. Do you know that verse? No, it's not that. It's Yatpada samsaya sutaha munaya prasamayanaha sadhya punanti pasprista sad puna. Okay, I'm going to find it because this is a beautiful verse. It's in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1-1 something. Oh, here it is, 15. Yat pada samsraya sutta munaya prasamayanaha sadhya punanti upasprista swarduni aponusevaya. They say, O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the water of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. And well, that is a very nice purport, of course, of, you know, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, the Vaishnava, this is another item or another, thing that is very, very transcendental. So that's why in our philosophy, there is always this strong address that we should take shelter of those Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas who have completely given his life to the service of the Lord and to the service of their spiritual master. Because at once, you know, they can purify. There is another verse, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pukasa, Avira, Shumba, Javana, Kasadaya, Yagnesha, Papa, Yadu, Pasraya, Sraha, Tasmai, Subdhyante, Prabhavishnave, Namaha. So that says that all these different races, the Kiratas, the Huna, the Andras, the Pulindas, the Africans, the Greeks, the Turks, you know, all the Malaysians, the Javana, the South Americans, the Chinese, the Japanese, everyone can, you know, and so many others who are addicted to so many sinful activities, they can be purified at once by taking shelter of the lotus feet of a person who is completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the essence or the sum of substance of our philosophy, that one should approach a bona fide Vaishnava and then surrender unto him. And then from him we can learn how, who the Supreme Lord is, you know, what is our relationship with him, you know, what is the process of attaining the Supreme Destination. And, you know, on the way we will learn all these different things, how the Lord is not different from his paraphernalia. There is another beautiful verse spoken by Uddhava. I really forget the Sanskrit of that verse, but it's very beautiful. It's Twaya Upabokta Shragganda Vasolankara Sharchitaha Uchistabo Yinoda Santava Maya Jaya Mahi. He says, oh my Lord, just by accepting all the paraphernalia that you have enjoyed, which is not different from you, like garlands, like oil, like garments, and Uchistabo, you know, by honoring the remnants of your prasadam, all of us spiritual servants, we can overcome the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is, you know, when I first read that verse, remember, I was living in Russia, and, it really got me, that verse, because, you know, Prabhupada was so expert in the way that he presented it, you know, introduced our philosophy, because at this point I could not understand why, you know, somebody would come around and putting you some oil in your hand, and, you know, and then, you know, sometimes I will read or hear Prabhupada's memories, and Prabhupada was emphasizing that, you know, all the guests will take at least, you know, piece of Mahaprasadam or something. So I could not understand those things, or why it's so important that I saw senior devotees wearing garlands, you know, all day long. I said, well, it's, you know, it's very unique. So I could not understand till I read this verse. And then I realized that, wow, these are transcendental items. We might see them in material because of our vision is not proper. Generally, we have material vision when we see things separate from the Lord. But actually, from the spiritual perspective, there is nothing which is material. And we will see in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna, when he said that he remained covered, you know, to the mudas, to the rascals, the materialistic persons, he said, Naham prakasya sarvasa yoga maya samavrita. So he doesn't say Mahamaya samavrita, because although we're covered as materialistic entities, we're under the control of Mahamaya. But from Krishna's perspective, from Krishna's view, there is no such thing as material and spiritual. Everything is spiritual. It's a spiritual energy. He sees Maya, which, or in this case, Yoga Maya, which generally is employed to bewilder, you know, living entities in the spiritual world just for the sake of pastimes. And a Mahamaya, which is used to bewilder the conditioned souls in this material world and to give them punishment. So he doesn't see that difference. He sees Yoga Maya only one energy, because from, you know, he is from the spiritual perspective. And I remember hearing that, I don't know if this is true, but, you know, Archie Prabhu or all the Prabhupada's disciples can correct me, that, what was his name of the poet that Prabhupada used to meet? Allen Ginsberg, that he came once to Prabhupada and he could not understand why, we were worshipping a deity. And then he said, well, the deity is something that is material, it's made out of material elements. And how can a material thing encapture, you know, spiritual reality? And then Prabhupada told him, well, actually material energy doesn't exist, everything is spiritual. But of course, you know, Prabhupada was also in that platform. He didn't see anything material. In fact, he learned, or he taught how to use everything material, or, you know, so-called material things in the service of the Lord. So he engaged devotees in, you know, doing so many, you know, quote-unquote materialistic activities like selling books in the streets, or, you know, cooking like big amounts of boga for the Lord, and doing so many other activities, building temples, that many Mayavadis and, you know, other smarter brahmanas and people in India, you know, they were criticizing Prabhupada, saying that that they were doing fruitive activities because they could not understand that activities, material activities which are used in the service of the Lord at once become spiritual. And there is also this verse in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, Brahmagnau Brahmahutau, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahmakarma Samadhina. That he said that the person, that devotee who's fully engaged in spiritual activities, he will attain the spiritual kingdom because of the contribution of spiritual activities, in which the consummation or the goal of that activities is also spiritual, and that which is offered is also spiritual. So you will see that the word Brahman is constantly repeated in the verse. Brahmarpanam Brahmagavir Brahmagnau Brahma Brahmagnau Brahmana Hutau Brahmaiva Te Nagantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. So the word Brahman is constantly repeated in this verse because it says that the person or the Brahmana or the spirit soul who engages in those spiritual activities, he's spiritual. And the items that are used, like Havir, like the butter, is also spiritual. And the result of those activities is not like a karmic activity. It's also spiritual. It's also Brahman. And therefore, he will attain spiritual reality. So, yeah, well, there are so many things that we can say about like how many items are transcendental in our philosophy, because everything is transcendental related to Krishna. But I will end the class right here because we don't have much time. If there is any questions or corrections or comments or something, just Prabhu, please. Prema Sankirtan Prabhu Ki Jai.
You said, and it's written in scriptures, then, you know, Krishna, this all, everything what we see is his energy. So he is seeing everything in a spiritual world. It's not mind for him, everything is spiritual. But at the same time, you know, Holy Scripture is no different from him, it's emanating from him. And in scripture is mentioned, okay, this is distinction between material and spiritual energy. So how I can put together these two?
Well, that's a good question. But, since we are conditioned and we see, we have this dual vision, so therefore we have to understand scriptures in that way. Scripture has to be, reading in that way, that so that you can make a difference between. You have to know what is material and what is spiritual. Just like you have to know, we have to know what is Maya in order to surpass Maya. Indeed, there is a verse in the at the end of, not very. Quote in this verse, it's a kind of, almost nobody knows this verse, but it's a very interesting, I'm going to find it right now. It's the last verse of the seventh chapter of the second canto. It says, Mayam Varnaryato Musya Ishwarasya Anumodata Shrimnatan Shraddaya Nityam Maya Yatmana Muhyati. Say that the Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described. Different energies should be described. Appreciated and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion, respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. So that's why mainly what Prabhupada did. He was only speaking about Maya constantly. You are in Maya, you are a fool, you are a rascal, you are attached to your wife, you are attached to your body, you are attached to this, you are attached to that. He was constantly speaking about the pastimes of Maya, pastimes of the Lord in relation to the material energy, so that we conditioned souls could understand what is the distinction between the two. You know, so that can be an answer. I don't know if it's satisfying to you. Yes, Bhrigu Pari Prabhu. I'm sure he has a better answer than me.
Yeah, I think an analogy that Prabhupada would use, like to the government, the prison system, it's just another department. Mm. But when the government educates its citizens, it'll educate them, hey, this aspect of this system in the government, the prison system, you don't want to have much to do with it. You want to avoid it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but from the government's, it's just another department, but they'll educate the citizens differently.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yes, exactly. Okay. Anything else? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. vancha kalpatarubhya shakripa sindubhyaya vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. All glories to the assembled devotees. No, what are you saying?